them hitting him with the racist thing in particular, that's good. You know, Graham, that hits him. He's
very sensitive.
He doesn't, and that kind of shit, man. There are people in that are Atlantis hunters today. There's a guy, Robert Saphir. I hate to say his name even, but I will because he needs to be put on blast a bit.
Yeah, that's me on the Joe Rogan Experience, and I'm calling out Robert Saphir for saying things that, well, he didn't like what I said about him, right? Like, he went out of his way to try to silence me. He claims that what I said about him was trying to silence him, but he immediately and directly tried to silence me by threatening to sue me if I said anything else, which worked about as well as you can tell. I mean, here we are, right? But the thing is, I do believe that the vast majority of my subscribers and the people watching this right now understand why I said what I did about Robert. But I do see that there is a significant enough subsection of you that I need to talk about this. I don't think most of you are dumb, and I don't think most of you are racist. I just think that you need a little light shed onto the tricks that the man plays. So here we are. This is not me being some flint dibblish person. This is not Dan being woke and trying to turn around and do the same thing that I've claimed that Flint did to Graham to Robert. No, no, no. That's not this at all. This, just sit your ass down. Let's talk about this. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to the Dunking. Robert Saphir has a degree in anthropology and is a published author, with his books focusing on our lost past. Indeed, he borrowed the title for one of his books, Species with Amnesia, from Graham Hancock's works. So you would think I'd be a fan of his work, or at least accepting of it. However, there are several things that cause me to take issue. Now, some of you may understand this if you look at this from a different angle, because what I'm talking about here is a corruption of the data, a distortion of the facts when you present them to the public in order to portray some sort of ulterior motive. That's it. This dishonest manner of reporting data is done by many for many different reasons. Now, longtime viewers of the channel will no doubt know that I rail against the biases creeping into science, particularly ideological ones. Flint Dibble would be the best known example of this, as most of you watching have seen at least one of my videos covering his dishonesty. This dishonesty came from two places. One was a desire to win at all costs and look good in front of his peers. The other one was he felt like he was waging some sort of a holy war against pseudo-archaeology and pseudoscience. Real archaeology versus pseudo-archaeology has the pseudo-guys, well, Flint thinks they happen to have a problem with racism, so he feels justified making his erroneous arguments and fudging the data a hair and missing a fact or two, because he has an agenda, and clearly he's passionate about it. He thinks that the ends justify the means. That makes the data that comes from his mouth suspect. This isn't new to the people that watch this video, or to most thinking individuals who are skeptical of other people in general and are scientifically minded. This is not unlike the tobacco companies and their manipulation of science. Back in the 1950s, they spent a lot of money to make sure that the manipulated data showed that, you know, there was no link between tobacco and cancer. According to them, smoking had nothing to do with cancer, and the idea that nicotine was addictive was also complete pseudoscience. This was battled long after the science was in and the evidence was hidden, obfuscated, lied about. Whatever it took, the companies manipulated the data. And this is not the only example of this in recent times. In the 1960s, sugar companies financed at least one study that shifted the blame for heart disease from sugar to saturated fat. This moved it from being the sugar industry's problem to the meat industry's. And this was all done as quietly as possible, and it took decades for this to come to light. In both of these cases, because they had a clear motivation, these entities cannot be trusted, and I think any sensible person would see this. Now, I didn't expose Big Tobacco or Big Sugar for their pseudoscience, but I did expose good old Flint, and I explained how I was able to do that numerous times. Even though I'm not versed in all these different scientific fields, how was I able to parse the data? Well, I looked for tells. I saw Flint doing things that were very clearly not scientific. For example, when he says things like,
And I'd say we could definitively prove there was no large-scale metallurgy in the Ice Age. If you look at ice cores in the Arctic, right, we can track metallurgy of the Roman period, of medieval periods, based on lead emissions that end up in these ice cores. And there are no emissions from metallurgy in the Ice Age.
It's obvious he's coming at this like a salesman, not a scientist. Now, in Flint's case, these are off-the-cuff statements for the most part. But in Robert Seffer's case, these are scripted. However, the tells are still there.
I came across an article this week quoting Professor Stringer, a British physical anthropologist noted for his work on human evolution and considered one of the world's foremost experts and proponents of the now obsolete and debunked Out of Africa replacement model, which argued that human species left Africa and mutated into the various races we have today, killing or replacing the other hominins.
While I have no problem with scientists challenging the Out of Africa model, as a matter of fact, there are several scientists that are doing just that right now. It's a small group, but they're a vocal minority. And they have data, and they're doing a good job with it, and that's just fine in my opinion. But they are not coming at it with a predisposed opinion like Robert is. Robert has already decided how this is, and he's just waiting for the data that agrees with him and discarding the data that doesn't. When Robert says that Out of Africa is wrong, the majority of anthropologists disagree with him. So he says it's debunked. He's actually massaging the truth at a minimum. It's only been debunked to Robert and the people that he has sold that line to. None of the anthropologists he mentioned would agree with him that it's been debunked or that it is obsolete, which is really the term that is poisoned here. But Robert uses these terms in order to make it sound like his position is already well established, when in fact it is not. You see, Robert's position is humans evolved out of Africa, came to Africa, interbred with the proto-humans there, and that's where apes came from. I'm not joking.
A U.S. biological anthropologist says he's determined humans did not evolve from apes, but rather apes evolved from humans. All aspects of the Out of Africa theory lacks empirical evidence, from how races came to be to the hominin origins coming from tree dwellers. No ancient origin myth or religion attributes our start to monkeys. Many of them, in fact, claim that apes evolved from us, where the common ancestor took to the trees after some sort of global cataclysm, and instead of the other way around.
Now notice the reasoning here, that none of the ancient texts or the old stories or myths remember humans coming from apes. But some of them remember apes coming from humans? This is like assuming that people, that there's some culture that could have seen through tens of thousands of years, right? Which we don't have anything like that remotely in the record. Who's going to be able to witness humans evolving like this? It didn't happen overnight, right? It wasn't like one day they woke up and they went from being man to monkey or monkey to man or whatever it is he thinks. It's like the assumption that he's bringing it. Once again, Robert is just kind of massaging the truth. It's right. The assumption here is that, well, you know, humans can see through deep time and they record that in their myths. And that's like, there's a reason that it took until the 1800s and Charles Darwin for human myths to be supplanted by basic science when it came to the origin of species, I believe it's called.
Since Cro-Magnon was essentially a modern European, anatomically and genetically, when exactly did all of that alleged evolution from Africans take place? It did not, and Cro-Magnon did not originate in Africa.
Now, it's one species of hominid that Robert focuses on as being first, and that's Cro-Magnon man. And he makes claims that Cro-Magnon man did not originate in Africa. But those claims, they rely on sleight of hand.
Pointing to an extinct group of archaic humans, which appear to have contributed DNA into the gene pool of modern populations in West Africa. In other words, sub-Saharan Africans could not possibly have populated or turned into Europeans. They did not leave Africa and magically mutate 35,000 years ago, as they carry archaic DNA not found in the genome of Cro-Magnons.
West Africa has signs of the interbreeding between Cro-Magnon and an archaic, unknown species, and it is isolated to Western Africa. Robert uses this to imply that humans from the rest of the world, those without the admixture from this unknown species, could not have come from Africa because they lacked that admixture. But the out-of-Africa models, they all claim that humans either came through Northwest Africa or through the Arabian Peninsula. None of the ones that I've ever seen claim that they came through sub-Saharan Africa. In other words, sub-Saharan admixture and any unique characteristics of it do not affect the out-of-Africa model in any way, shape, or form. Now, Robert has to be aware of this. This is very simple information even a first-year student should have under their belt. It is true that a small group of scientists who believe some of what Robert does, that the early hominids left Africa as Homo erectus and returned as Cro-Magnon, but the notion that this created apes, this is not seen in anybody else's work or the genetic record. At least from what I can tell, he seems to have just conjured this up on his own in order to make his ideological point.
While some modern politically motivated interpretations of the Bible promote the idea that Noah had three sons that represented three different races, reflecting the demographics that populate the various parts of the world in modern times, this was not the case, as all early civilizations shared the same ruling nobility, which were ethnically distinct from the populations that they governed.
Now, this is not a position held by modern politically correct woke people. The idea that the three different races came from three different people and are very distinct that way, and that one's better than the other and the other one's better than them, is just not the kind of thing you're going to see them espousing. This is a very outdated model. As a matter of fact, it was outdated by the 1920s, and Robert's well aware of this. But he also is well aware that he misspoke when he claimed that all ancient civilizations were ruled by one ethnically distinct group of nobles. This is scientifically unfounded. The best evidence he has is statues around the world with blue eyes, statues he cherry-picked from the far more numerous examples that do not have blue eyes. Once again, Robert's over here massaging the data, taking the kernel of truth and turning mountain into molehill out of it, and trying to convince the world that his ideological perspective is the only good one. And it leads one to ask the question, why is his data so heavily corrupted? Why is it that the words that he spits out are half-truths? Well, that really has to do with why I call him a racist. So strap yourselves in, because we're about to go down that rabbit hole. Now, he believes that different races of men came from Cro-Magnon interbreeding with other hominids.
It's been conclusively proven by DNA sequencing that the various human races came about by different admixture of different hominin species. The dominant contribution that we all share is Cro-Magnon.
Now, this is not accepted by most anthropologists, but Robert claims that's the case. And in addition to that, the Cro-Magnon man, the Europeans as he calls it, which is close to accurate, I have to say, the Cro-Magnon man is the ancestor of modern Europeans. But he claims that Cro-Magnon man went back into Europe, or went back into Africa, excuse me, and interbred with Homo erectus. And so then he makes the following claim, with no reason whatsoever. It has nothing to do with the rest of his argument. He just throws this in there for no apparent reason.
A news release by the Australian National University notes, citing new archaeological research, that Homo erectus, an extinct species of primitive humans, went extinct in part because they were lazy. The statement goes on to say, an archaeological excavation of ancient human populations in the Arabian Peninsula during the early Stone Age found that Homo erectus used least effort strategies for tool making and collecting resources. Researchers say this laziness, paired with an inability to adapt to a changing climate, likely played a role in the species going extinct.
Despite it having nothing to do with his argument outside of this, he injects the idea that Homo erectus was lazy. I'll give you three guesses as to why. Now, if you haven't guessed by now, I know it didn't take long for most of us, here's Dave Chappelle's character, Clayton Bigsby, to explain it to you.
African-Americans, What exactly is your problem?
How much time you got, buddy? Where would I start? Well, first of all, they're lazy, good-for-nothing tricksters.
Now, this is the sort of things, the tells, that clue me in that Robert is not a trustworthy source, that he's trying to sell his audience on something, not educate his audience on something. Basically, his position is some races are better than others, and one of them happens to be the white people. They're the best of the better than others. And this is why he uses a Charles Darwin quote at the beginning of a video. You would think a Charles Darwin quote would be generally benign, but think about it in the context of one race is better than all the others.
Mankind has diverged into distinct races, or as they may be more fitly called, subspecies. Some of these, such as the African and European, are so distinct that, if specimens had been brought to a naturalist without any further information, they would undoubtedly have been considered by him as good and true species. Nevertheless, all the races would probably deserve to rank as man. It must not be supposed that the divergence of each race from the other races and of all from a common stock can be traced back to any one pair of progenitors. Charles Darwin, The Descent of Man.
Now, there's a lot of races, and some of them probably deserve to be considered as men. I mean, there's a lot of them, and they have different admixtures, and they're all over the place, but some of them probably should be considered as human, even though they don't quite look like the rest of us. I mean, this is why he conflates sub-Saharan Africa with Northern Africa and Ethiopia and the peninsula and all that crap, because he's fundamentally opposed to the idea that humans came out of Africa. And a lot of the data he brings to the table may well be accurate, but he doesn't vet his data. In fact, he cherry-picks it to support his position. I mean, look at this tweet. Egyptian mummies that he mentioned had more Turkish DNA in them than they did European. But that won't make his case, so he doesn't mention the Turkish DNA. He omits it. He omits all of this in order to make a case that Europeans were the rulers of the ancient world, and the fact of the matter is the genetic record does not vet that at all. The idea that Europeans were the rulers of the ancient world, white people were the rulers of the ancient world, the ruling caste of all societies, is crazy, but that is his position. All right, when I was on Joe Rogan, I mentioned the fact that he liked to juxtapose old hominid models with modern humans. And here's a clip that I was complaining about.
Yeah, because I never bought into the story that someone could walk out of Africa and then over time, the skin tone changes, the facial features, and the structure of the hair changes. I never really bought into that.
No, if you're not seeing why I had an issue with this, let me massage this a little myself and see if you come out of this with a different opinion.
Yeah, because I never bought into the story that someone could walk out of Africa and then over time, the skin tone changes, the facial features, and the structure of the hair changes. I never really bought into that.
Now, we live in exciting times as far as all this goes. I mean, the genetic evidence could overturn Clovis first. You see where my brain is? It could overturn the out of Africa theory overnight. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. My problem is the person that is presenting the data is so heavily ideologically invested into it, he lies. He misrepresents things, and then we can't know for sure that any of what he brings to bear is accurate, and we have to go through it all again. In other words, he may as well have not made a goddamn thing if you're the least bit skeptical. And that, my friends, is a problem. And you can say, oh, no, he brought a lot of good stuff to bear. No, look, there's a difference between a guy like him and Ben Van Kirkwick. Ben, I don't agree with Ben. When it comes to the vases, he thinks they're ancient high technology. I think that they're not, okay? However, if Ben brings a vase scan to the table, it's a fucking accurate vase scan. He doesn't remove data from it in order to make his case. Robert removes data from his shit in order to make his case. And that's a problem, okay? That's a problem because he doesn't care what the real answer is. He cares what his answer is borne out to be true. And that, my friends, I don't care if you are big pharma, if you are big freaking science, if you are big tobacco, if you're big sugar. I don't care if you're Flint Dibble and you're woke. Okay? Flint's woke. Big pharma, big sugar, all these guys, they're all like, it's simple with them. They're just fucking greedy, right? But what would you call Robert? What would you call Robert? Racist. Fucking racist, right? Clearly, white supremacist, racist. And that's why I said what I said on the Joe Rogan Experience.